Hi, welcome to The Working World. I'm Kara Mendes.
And I'm Jamie Lingham.
And Jamie, we just met with Shuman and Steve, who are part of the Asia Talent Mobility Alliance, or more fondly known as APMA.
APMA, yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And wow, what a amazing initiative, organization that they have spent the last couple of years putting together, particularly focused in Asia. But from an industry group perspective and a way to connect all of us in the mobility industry and also drive education and mentoring, amazing. Loved it.
It always fascinates me, or I suppose inspires me is a better word, just to see people how they can, you know, put their own time, effort, energy into creating something really special. I won't give much away. I'm not going to give anything away, actually. I'm just going to let Shimin and Steve do the talking, because I think there's a lot of gems there. I think there's a lot of benefits for potential members or for members and for people who want to be part of mentoring. There's a whole lot going on here that's been a couple of years in the making, and we're at the real start of something special, I think.
Yeah, and yeah, I would encourage all our mobility practitioners and those touching mobility in some way, shape or form to watch this, because I think these guys are, they've got something unique, particularly their advocacy part in relation to mobility policies and in an external sense. So I think, yeah, everybody would benefit from this one. So
I'd say watch at a minimum, get involved. I think These guys, they're good people. They're doing great things. And I think you'd be mad not to get involved.
Yeah, call to action on this one.
Exactly. Cool. Okay.
Enjoy.
Thanks.
Okay. Shuman, Steve, lovely to see you. Thanks so much for joining us on The Working World. We are very excited to have you guys on to speak about APMA and introduce this concept for those of our audience that aren't familiar with it, but also to hear about some of the things that you've been doing across the organisation, but also what you have lined up for the next 12 months as well. So without further ado, I'm going to jump straight to the questions and get started. Shuman, I wanted to fire the first question to you if I could, please. Can you tell us a bit about APMA for those who aren't aware of the organisation and its role within the APAC mobility industry?
Yeah, sure, Karen. And thank you so much for having us here today. Really glad to be able to share with everyone about APMA. But before I go into that, I thought good for me to kind of let everybody know what APMA stands for, because ATMA, that's actually like the short abbreviation, but it literally stands for Asia Talent Mobility Alliance. And I would say that very proud to share that it's actually the first global mobility trade organization that's really focusing solely on Asia. So I think what really kind of triggers me to be part of this is that we are a nonprofit organization, and our role itself is we want to be able to represent and to promote the advancement of the global mobility professional throughout the Asia region by providing the support to the talent mobility professional here, as well as the stakeholders throughout Asia. So honestly, I would say that the role that we play is to be the advocacy of the talent mobility related topics. And we do am looking at various opportunities to facilitate education, throughout our talent mobility community by bringing everybody together. And I think what I felt about APMA can really bring a difference is that, as we all know, if we look at the Asia country, we are very diverse, right? We are so distinctive. We have such a diverse culture. It's such a diverse country, and there's also diverse industry within the Asia region itself. So we really want to be able to embrace and promote this diversity within the Asia talent mobility trade itself. So I think one reflection that I have is that today, if we were to look at the board of directors for APMA, it's actually comprised of a very diverse, I would say profile of people from different region, different country, you name it, we have it. So we have individuals from India, from Singapore, from China, but also at the same time, we also need to have the global purview. So we even have someone sitting in US so that we can really build it to become like a global Asia Trade Organization. So in EMMA, I think I really wanted to kind of wrap up and say that we actually have four central pillars, and that actually includes the ESG and sustainability, the advocacy, the education and development, as well as events and networking.
Fantastic. Shimon, I think of all of the pillars, I think in my mind, the advocacy is the one that I think is of most interest. I think that, you know, if you can get advocacy right, all of the rest, the education and all of the community and et cetera, will sort of flow from there. How are you approaching that? And I'm guessing, is that just with the Singapore government at this stage, or are you looking at other governments throughout the Asian region?
Mm-hmm. I would say that certainly we actually hope that we will be able to build the advocacy, not just in one region, but basically throughout the Asia region. Right now, I would say that we are just starting, right? So before we are able to build on that advocacy, I think the first is to be able to get our member base and to look at what they are interested in, what are kind of the topics that you know, that they are facing on a day-to-day basis, you know, what kind of things they are looking for. So by understanding, by getting the membership base and understanding what they need, I think, Jamie, like you said, this will then allow us to look at what do we want to advocate for, and then looking into what kind of developmental opportunities, right, we will be able to build.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the... yeah, I think also to your point, getting the members in and going to governments and saying, hey, we represent, you know, this group. I just think it's such a fantastic initiative because I think it's well needed. It feels like that, you know, a lot of companies might be doing this individually, but to have an organization who's actually out there for members to do that, yeah, it sounds great.
Perfect. Thank you, Shimon. Steve, I wanted to hear a little bit from you, if I could, around how ATMA came about. I know you were pivotal in the creation of that, and so I wondered if you have that story or that journey that you could share with us.
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much for having me join today. I appreciate it.
Sure.
ATMA's, yeah. For a long time, you know, I've spoken with colleagues in both Asia and around the globe about how Asia doesn't really have a sort of a body to represent mobility. And so it happened that we had COVID and a bit of downtime. You know, my colleague Sharon in the US and I had always been talking about starting something. And so we decided that during COVID was a good time. And I reached out to a few colleagues who then helped me to reach out to a few of their colleagues and tried to get a you know diverse set of people from different you know different aspects of the you know the global mobility industry and really it just flowed on from there and we spent probably close to 2 years sort of getting our you know thoughts together about what would be best and how to you know best go about this. Including establishing an entity in Hong Kong, and you know we had to look at you know where it would be best to set up and things like that. And it basically just flowed on from there. So you know, monthly meetings with between 8 and 10. There was a few people that came and went during the 2 years that we worked from the middle of COVID, basically. We're very proud to be able to actually officially launch in August of last year. So it's really only been just over 6 months or so, I guess, now since that we've officially been alive as an organization. So early days yet. And, you know, as Shimon just mentioned, we're concentrating at the moment on building the membership so that we have a good core so that we can then, you know, start looking at doing a lot more in that advocacy space. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, thank you.
Hats off to you, Steve. Sorry, Karen, just jumping in here. I was just going to say hats off to you because I think that starting any business is a huge effort. To make it a not-for-profit is even, you know, those extra two steps. So it's obviously got a lot of, you know, sort of good as far as the relocation and mobility community is concerned. I was just curious, what were the deficiencies that you saw? I mean, because you actually have a great group of people who are involved. And to get everybody on the same page, I think, you know, it obviously takes quite a lot and to have them contribute their time and their knowledge and everything else in between. But what was the catalyst? What really drove you? I mean, you've been, you know,
guess, in Asia for a while. We looked at a lot of other trade organizations that exist, and you know, a couple of them that are you probably, you know, Worldwide ERC in the US, for example. Mm-hmm. EURA is the sort of the big conference in Europe. And you know, while those EURA has brought their conferences to Asia, Worldwide ERC has brought theirs, there's a few other organizations that have brought their countries from either Europe or the US to us in Asia, but we've never really had anything that we could say was our own.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it starts, is that we really wanted to create something that is focused on Asia for everybody in Asia, but to have a wide representation in terms of a global membership, but to be very much focused on Asia rather than people bringing topics from the global industry to Asia, that we start on topics that are that are most relevant to everybody who's working here in Asia. So
Now you say it like that, it feels like a no-brainer.
I should point out that everything we have done up until this point and into the future as well is volunteer led. So everybody is volunteering their time. We're not for profit, but we're also not there's no paid positions apart from perhaps an executive director or some administrative staff that we might need in the future. We haven't had to pay anybody as yet. We're talking about getting some administrative assistance, but very much a membership led organization and voluntary.
Well done. Not a small feat.
Mm. Sherman,
you're fine.
And I thought maybe I'll just add on, because this is really truly our passion, like what Steve mentioned. I still remember very, very clearly the day where I got a call from Avram, sharing with me about this notion. And it was so urgent. He's like, Shumi, I have something that I really need to discuss with you, right? And that's where he shared me this great idea where a group of them, certainly Steve, is one of them who have been talking this for a long time, to set up this mobility trade. Like, again, he mentioned, an Asia trade organization for Asia. And I think at that point during the COVID or post-COVID, I also recall that there really isn't really much activity happening within Asia. A lot may be brought in more from the existing or the Europe-based trade organization. But within Asia itself, there's really isn't much happening. And again, when we look at some of the surveys, right, it actually states that there's a lot of activities happening, be it domestically or internationally. So that's where, Jamie, to your point, I think starting something is never easy. And for me, honestly, the reason why I say yes is that I thought, wow, okay, I will never be an entrepreneur because I'm not a risk taker. So that's why I thought that, okay, this is a good, why not, right, to come together. And I think, other than able to bring all the talent mobility community together, even I myself, I will benefit from the setting up because I get to see how Steve and a couple of folks actually literally set up something from ground zero to really a organization today.
The birth of an organization. It's great to be here, right?
Yes.
The conception and the birth.
Hopefully one day.
That sounds very successful.
Hopefully one day you sit back and watch this and you'll be a huge global advocacy organization. You'll be like, remember that small podcast we did? Yep.
Exactly.
I think, Shimmer, what you were saying earlier around the uniqueness, particularly of this region and even probably more so Asia, to your point, the complexities or the uniqueness that brings, I think you're right. You couldn't have that that foundation from any other region because of those uniquenesses. So, well done to you both. Shuman, I wanted to stick with you for a moment, if I could, just around if you could talk to us a little bit around some of the achievements. I appreciate we're only in the early days, but some of the achievements that the team at Atmo has reached already, or some of the current initiatives that you'd like to highlight to some of our audience base?
Okay, sure. And again, borrowing what Jamie says, getting started is never easy. And, we were always having this discussion about, okay, when do we get started? And that's where, again, I must applaud Steve for his courage. I still remember back before September, Steve was like, no, we have to do it. We have to do that. So over the last 12 months, indeed, we officially launched ATMA last September with our first ever in-person event in Singapore. Because we actually kind of leverage on realizing that there are people traveling to this region for conferences. So that's why Steve was very smart enough to leverage on that to organize this first ever in-person session. And I would say over the last 12 months, we have actually, when I start counting, Steve, I didn't realize we actually conducted 8 webinars. And again, you know, Karine, to your point, every country is so unique. So what we did was we have a country update, you know, where we had one session for India, for China, for Hong Kong, Singapore, Taiwan, Japan. And in fact, as I calculated, we have actually reached out to more than 250 participants just within the Asia community. So again, we need our members to let us know, you know, what you need. And for the next coming year, we have been also talking about we should continue this country updates because, as you mentioned, each country is so unique and it's ever-changing, right? And we also have emerging countries coming up. So that's why we want to continue to see, you know, if this is something that our members and our participants like it, and we do want to be able to bring back the country update. And I think what is also interesting, and I think, again, another baby of Steve to tell us that we need to have country meetup session. We did the first ever country meetup session last month, right after the Chinese New Year. And they were actually talking, and it was kind of like a soft launch for our ESG and sustainability pillar. So coming up in the next few days, we are going to have a launch of that sustainability webinar. And then we are going to talk and share a little bit more, because we also realized that when we start talking about ESG or sustainability within the mobility industry, everyone's mindset has been very much about environmental. But honestly, sustainability is more than environmental. So that's why under the ESG and sustainability pillar, we certainly want to be able to share more basics of the ESG principles to everyone, and basically how this impacts global mobility. So that's more on the ESG and sustainability pillar. So under the education and development, we are going to implement our first ever mentoring program for global mobility professions in Asia. And Jamie, make a guess. Guess who is one of our mentors? The person is on this call.
Karen. Well, I'm thinking it's not me, and I'm guessing it's not Steve. So, Karen, congratulations.
He's thinking I've missed an email. What have I done?
Yes, well, I tell you what, Karen, if you weren't before, you definitely should be now.
Yeah. Thank you.
Shimon, I think you're playing your courage down. I think that, you know, to get involved in these things is courageous, and obviously starting off as your side hustle, you know, it's a big commitment. I think it's still a good step to put yourself out there. So, and obviously, Steve, you've done this previously, this sort of stuff. So it's, you know, I think it's exciting. I think it's, you know, you've got the opportunity there, Shimon, to observe it, to be part of it. But I feel like it's you're probably like the duck on the water, right? You've got the calm features and the feet going pretty fast to make sure it all happens. What I'm curious about, and what I do like, is the fact that you've done different country briefings, right? I mean, you know, as this evolves, how do you find time for this, or where do you get all this information? Because I think that it's obviously there's got to be a fair bit in it to be able to be that specific, which I think is a huge benefit for members as well. Because as you said, if it's being run from the US or from Europe, it's a bit of a you know, a long distance view of an opinion of what's happening, as opposed to being in the trenches and understanding exactly, you know, what it looks and smells and feels like.
Yeah, and Jamie, I'm glad you actually asked this question. And I think one purpose of ATMA is really to be able to build a more confident talent mobility professional, right? Because I think one day everybody will be sick of seeing Steve and myself. So we want to be able to multiply. And honestly, you know, if we look at mobility itself, just looking at when we look at India or China, there's a huge, I would say, domestic mobility happening just within the region. And there are certainly, you know, experts who are as good as Steve and me in those locations. So I would say that honestly, how we can continue to be so successful for the country update is that we need more people who can come forward and share experiences. And I think one, you know, role of EMMA, which I really hope for, is that we want to be able to continue to advocate also for this individual. So in fact, for the series that we did in Taiwan, I actually got my team member to be part of the country update. So I think twofold. One is allow her to be able to share you know, with the community in terms of what she's observing. And also at the same time, I would say that it's also for her to be able to learn from other panelists, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, in the call as well. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a fantastic experience.
Yes.
Shaman, you spoke a little bit about a couple of the pillars that ATMA is based on and some of the initiatives that you're doing there. But Steve, I wondered whether you would be able to maybe, and maybe the rest of the pillars are the secret sauce, so to speak, but I wondered if you could talk to us about how ATMA differentiates itself or is unique from some of the other mobility industry groups. And you've spoken about how, you know, they're Europe-led or they're US-led. So there's obviously the geographical differences. But from reading up on ATMA and understanding some of the great work that you and the team do, the other value adds there are a long list. So I wondered if you could take us through some of those for our audience that's watching.
Sure. There's really no sort of secret sauce, really. it's a couple of good, you know, and I think the Asia focus is important. So we want to be doing things that are, for Asia, done by people in Asia. Very, very much membership-led as well. So, and if you take a look at some of the other trade organizations around the place, that's very much a top-down sort of thing, whereas we'd like to be, you know, we have to have some top-down, but we'd like to have more bottom-up in terms of, and just, you know, as Jim mentioned, you know, sharing experiences and things like that. So we you know, very much think that, you know, this needs to be led by everybody, by the membership. So the more people we can get on board, the more people that can become a part of what we're doing. And it's really about, you know, what they want out of ATMA more than the other way around. So, it's, you know, and I think that, you know, just being the first organization in Asia that's doing this, obviously we don't really know what we don't know. So we're going to trip over some things that, are useful to the membership that we probably haven't thought about ourselves. And the more people that we can get involved and the more diverse that we can be, you know, the more those things will come to the fore. So we've also, in terms of sort of fee structure and that sort of thing, we want to be very inclusive in what we do. We want to have every aspect of the global mobility industry be able to participate. So that means even if you're in a developing country, we've set our fees and things at a level whereby we feel that most people can participate. So first member $300, or an individual member $300 per annum. And then every other member, if you're representing your company, second member onwards would be $200 per annum. So we've tried to keep the fees very, very minimal. And also for developing countries, we have a scholarship type of concept as well, whereby in the future we'll roll out something for developing countries whereby memberships will be discounted if they meet certain criteria and that sort of thing. So we haven't actually launched that part of the membership yet, but that is something that we have definitely talked about. And in order to be inclusive, we want to be able to, have some criteria around, if you're in a country like, for example, Cambodia, Brunei, Myanmar, for example, and you'd like to participate, we'd really like to have you, not have very few sort of, borders to you, becoming a member and being able to participate with everybody else and learn from everybody else.
I'll take that as a scoop that we've announced this first on the Working World, Steve. haven't been out to the general public yet, but we've picked it up, which is good. Just a question from my side. I think, I was just going to comment as well and say that I think that, you know, those fees are ridiculously reasonable. I think if you're getting mentors of the quality of such as Miss Mendez here and everybody else, I mean, that's got to pay for itself, right? But I, you know, one thing I was curious about is just in your opinion, and it could be to Shuman and yourself, where do you think the deficiencies are in mobility practitioners of today? You know, like if you're saying, okay, let's do mentoring programs or let's do training, if I was asked, you know, well, I am asking, what do you see would be obvious ones for you to you know, that people need to upskill on or get better knowledge of in relation to, you know?
I think, like Shuman mentioned, it's the confidence, I think, to, you know, the confidence in what you do and the confidence to step out of your sort of, you know, comfort zone, if you like, and perhaps participate in a circle like this. You know, it takes a bit of courage to step out of your daily role and to meet different people and to, you know, probably until you do it, you don't realize what you can learn, you know, from those things. So I think that's probably the biggest deficiency, I think. And so, you know, some of our struggle is in terms of, you know, getting people to understand the benefit of participating, or the, you know, the benefit of giving up your time to come and join us. So, you know, that definitely is a challenge, and everybody's time is so limited these days, and there's so much information and that sort of thing, that we're trying to find a sort of a nice balance in terms of where we, you know, position ourselves in order to be valuable to, you know, to all of our membership and indeed to the industry.
Yeah. Oh no, it sounds like,
I don't know if you want to comment anything further there.
Yes, yeah. And I want to add on as well. I'm not sure if this is really a deficiency, but I think typically we see, usually when it comes to the mobility team in Asia, you might be the one and only person here, or basically you have very dispersed teams, right? So I still remember when I first get into this industry, after being through it for a couple of years, I started to then question myself, do I know this? Do I know that? If I want to know more, who do I reach out to? And I was really very timid and shy because, you know, why would someone, a VP in the organization, would want to spend time with me? Yeah. So, yeah, like what Steve mentioned, I think sometimes it's the confidence of reaching out to us. And honestly, I would say that my speed of learning literally became like 10x faster when I got myself a mentor. Yeah. And Yeah, and again, this is with encouragement from my boss who is seated in US. He's the one who said, yes, you need to have a mentor, and he introduced my a mentor to me. So the purpose of setting up the mentoring basically is really to, like what Steve mentioned, we want to be able to help the community to network. And potentially, the mentor, they have their own network, right? And they might be able to introduce their network to the mentees. So again, things are moving, you know, so fast. Everyone needs an answer so quickly. So honestly, I think, and honestly, I may not know it all, right? And sometimes the mentor could also learn from the mentee.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So essentially, it's really about how we want to be able to build that connection and to speed up the learning faster.
Perfect.
Yeah, perfect.
I think if I could just add one other thing. You know, I talked about inclusion before. One of the other challenges we have, obviously, is with you know, the corporate members that we have, and them perhaps feeling a little bit scared of being attacked by service providers like myself and that sort of thing. So, but we've purposely tried to keep everybody on the same level, if you like. So we want everybody to participate at the same level, not be scared to, you know, for you know, corporates or for service providers to get in the same room and learn from each other.
Non-solicitation rules. Yeah.
So we do have some rules built into that, and obviously education of the appropriate way to, you know, to interact with people, especially for us service providers. I think, you know, making sure that people understand that is important. But we also, you know, in terms of fees and things like that, we've purposely kept everybody on the same level, if you like. So, you know, corporate members will have to pay the same as, you know, service providers will need to pay, you know, to be a member. That's difficult, and you know, in a way as well, because you know sometimes for you know corporate people working for corporates, it is difficult to obviously allocate or get you know the budgets required to be, you know become a member and that sort of thing. But we, I think you know, as an industry, we need to overcome those things as well. So you know, we've kind of taken a look at how everybody else has done their trade organisations in the world and kind of picked out the different bits that we think you know are going to work best for what we do here in Asia. So
I think it's an easy sell. Personally, I think that you know, as Shimon was alluding to before, it's the isolation that people you know that in a similar position if they're the only person there. So you know, to pay a few hundred dollars or a couple hundred dollars for a corporate to actually build that community environment where they can go and get the mentoring and get the learning, it, to me, it seems unbelievably reasonable and not just pumping up your tires here. I think from my point of view, if I was going to have my team, you know, go and be part of an organization where they can get external learning, because we sort of know what we know here, but those conversations with other you know, people in the industry and other providers, you know, you'll get some idea, oh, okay, I didn't know you did it that way, and you'll bring that back to work and you'll start to implement that yourself. And I think those sort of things, you know, as I said, they're invaluable. People pay thousands and thousands of dollars to go and send a day's training. And, you know, you sound like this on tap, especially with the mentor stuff. So, yeah.
And I'll just add on that, particularly from my point of view too, it's not just relevant for those up and comers that are in the industry, you know, the Shubin, you know, 15 years ago, not knowing where to go. It's a case of even now for people like myself and Shubin and Steve and Jamie, as you as well, we've been in the industry for almost 20 years. Mm. And COVID has just flipped the industry completely on its head. From a corporate point of view, your role as a mobility practitioner just ballooned, and so we're all kind of relearning some of those aspects that we've acquired or that we've had to recalibrate as a result of the change in the world. So super relevant too for even seasoned professionals as well, not just those entering into the industry. So very good to have a safe space to do that in. Steve, I wanted to take a look forward and if you're able to share with us around, you know, either a roadmap or some future initiatives that you have carved out and planned for ATMA as we look ahead, maybe say for the next 12 months.
Yeah, sure. Firstly, and once again, I don't want to be too repetitive, but, you know, I think it really, our roadmap needs to be based off what the membership needs and wants. So as we continue to grow the membership, we continue to ask them what they're looking for. And a lot of what we do will be based on, you know, what it is that everybody else needs, feels is most appropriate. In the meantime, though, we do have some, you know, some plans in place. So we have started some gatherings in Singapore. We want to start launching those in some different locations. So we have some ideas for some, you know, some in-person events in India and China, and hopefully Hong Kong as well. And we'll continue to push to, you know, to have those in different locations. I also have a bit of my 25% of my work is based in Japan. So what to do something in Japan as well. So we want to get those sort of regional gatherings going. We'll continue to do the webinars, as the Shuman had mentioned. So both the update, you know, the country updates, and hopefully we can start to include a couple more, you know, some more of the countries, perhaps updates from, you know, some more developing countries, Indonesia, the Philippines, you know, some countries like that. We'll continue those, but then also other webinars based on the feedback from the membership. So we have also an ESG webinar coming up. That's probably going to continue. So probably be the first in a number of, you know, webinars we do for, you know, sustainability and ESG. And then ultimately we'd like to have a conference here, an Asian in-person conference, probably based around when there's going to be some other sort of activity in the region, so that people coming in will have something else to attend, and hopefully we can kind of position ourselves a little bit differently to perhaps some of the others that may be running a conference or whatever at particular times during the year. So hopefully we'll be able to do something like a one-day you know, conference later on this year. So we're looking at that right now. I think it's a little bit of a rush to get anything done sort of, you know, in the May timeframe when Worldwide ERC is coming to Singapore. But, you know, with other events, hopefully we can align with them and bring some, you know, some value to everybody that's coming into a particular region.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so those are, and then, you know, just to continue the, obviously the mentor program that that Schumann has mentioned. So at the moment, that's a corporate facing program mm-hmm. that we're going to be launching very soon. Hopefully we can start to launch that for service providers as well and, you know, really, really grow all the great work that that Schumann and her team have done there. And if there are any other, you know, sort of educational opportunities, you know, things like AI in our industry and how that's going to change what we do and things like that, I think there's a lot of learning that, you know, people are keen to, you know, keen to do. How do you measure your carbon footprint will be probably another one that, you know, the Pillar will be looking at very shortly as well. So things like that, I think, will be things we'll be focusing on in the near future.
Fantastic. Very exciting.
Absolutely. Sounds like an exciting 12 months ahead.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It does. Never enough time.
So you put together a pretty good sized team by looking at it, and I think that sounds like there's a lot of people who are contributors. So
there is. We're very grateful to, you know, to everybody, both sort of on our board, but also now as we start to reach out to the wider membership, they've also been very you know, very supportive and very keen to get involved. So, you know, I really do invite as many people in the industry to come and join us, and hopefully get involved
I'll put my hand up and come and help with the immigration advocacy. I think that's a really, you know, from my personal point of view, I think it's a really interesting discussion, and to be able to help shape policy, I think it's really exciting to have a look at the needs of companies and.
Yeah, that's one voice we've never really had in Asia is the industry coming together and having a voice. I think that's very, you know, a very important thing that we're aiming to, you know, to be able to do. And
you came for the chat, you could leave with the host.
Yeah, and I'm going to take your word for that because I'm in charge of the education and grow. Yeah, so I have the data.
There you go. Quickly, I tell you, you had Karen, you've got me. It's obviously, you know, it's obviously appealing and attractive to a lot of people because I mean, you know, as you guys want to do is just it really is just about education in the industry, right? And just helping people grow and the industry being better in the Asian region. So yeah, fantastic.
Yeah. Good job. Well, that is a great segue to my last question. And Schumann, I'm going to pass this to you. I mean, Jamie's obviously sold, but for those who are still thinking about it, I guess, you know, if members come on board, what can they kind of expect from participating with ATMA?
Yeah, and honestly, I think to just sum it all in one line, it's really about education in the telemobility industry. Yeah. It's really to break down those walls. It's never about service provider and in-house. I think today for ATMA, what we really am trying to build is that it's a telemobility community. Everyone will come in and learn together. So I would probably have three key takeaway. So sorry, Karen, I'm just as structured as you. I need the pointers.
Go for it. I get it.
Yeah. And honestly, I think the first key takeaway is we need to continue to be able to build our membership base. And that's where I really want to encourage everyone to take a moment of pause. You know, you do not have to join ATMA or anything, but I think just take a moment of pause, right? Think about really what energizes you in the industry and what is your hope for the industry. Just that, right? And I think with that, I really hope that we'll be able to see more people coming forward because, again, you know, just with myself, Steve, Jamie, or even Karen yourself, we need more people, right? We need all the people to come in and share experience. So that will be my first key takeaway. And I would say that what members can also expect as the second key takeaway is we are going to have activities upcoming, like Steve mentioned, surrounding the ESG and sustainability. In fact, in the month of March and April, we are going to start to launch our sustainability pillar. And that's where the pillar will start to provide more education, be it webinar or in person, in terms of what sustainability is and how it impacts the mobility program. We'll be also bringing in corporations to come in and share how they have actually married sustainability and mobility together in their program itself. So I think the more we can talk about it, share about it, I think that's where we can continue to build on and leverage on each other ideas. And last but not least, is the mentoring, right? It's a safe place for you to get connected with the mentors and for you to learn.
Perfect. Well done. Thank you so much.
Sherman, I was going to say it. It feels very community focused.
Yeah.
And I made some notes while you were talking, and I sort of wrote it's a platform that members can get involved with and you know, do a lot of great stuff through the mentoring and the education and the advocacy, et cetera, but also being a safe space for everyone to give back. And I think that, you know, practitioners such as ourselves, all of us on this call, we've been in the industry for a long time, and, you know, you sort of get to the stage, well, hopefully you're always going to be at that stage where you just want to give a little bit back. How do I help improve it? And we're all passionate practitioners in our own, you know, sort of areas. And I think that's so important, and that's why I feel like this has gone well for you to this point, because people are wanting to get involved and to give back, and you know, and I feel like you've made it available for people to do that, to give them the platform, which is it's really good. Love it.
Yeah,
I definitely think that's a big part of it, is giving back to the industry, and you know, you'll get as much out of ATMA as you will as you put in, right?
So, yeah.
You know, if you're willing to participate, you'll definitely learn. Yeah, you know, you'll definitely benefit. So the more the more you give, the more you get, sort of thing.
I feel like actually, the more you give, you're probably going to get more back than you expected.
Yes.
You know? Like it's just because there's a lot going on here, you know, for what you guys are doing. And as I said, just for that region as well, if it didn't have the representation, or it hasn't had the representation that you're bringing forward, yeah.
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 Look, personally, from my perspective, one of the things that got my attention, and I've shared this with Shuman as well, is firstly, the advocacy part is a unique selling point for me from a value proposition perspective, but then also that there's a structure. So it's not just a gathering and sharing of, you know, the hot topics at the moment. There is some very targeted pillars, and you've talked to those both today. And I think that structure brings a greater level of comfort for people that, like me, that love structure. But also accelerates that learning. So, yeah, from me, and I think Jamie's summed it up really well, but from me, thank you for having this brilliant idea and bringing this to life from an industry perspective. But also thank you for your time today of sharing it, and hopefully, you know, us sing it out loud for you attracts a lot more members and builds that community, and we can all benefit from that. So thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, guys. Exciting times. And we are, Karen was lucky enough to be part of it. Now I'm excited to be part of it, and I'm sure lots of other people will.
Just
we'll be feeling the same way. Yeah, exactly. All right. All the best.
Excellent.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.